I would like to welcome you to the November 22nd, 2020 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of this commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuity, and use of areas having special historical, cultural, and aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is the basic, and vital importance to the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission, appointed by the City Council, is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards are set forth in the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance and are used by the board to determine the compatibility of the proposed changes and new development visually from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah local historic and conservation districts. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuing or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Please mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each board member must say their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the members present please identify themselves by name for the record? Rebecca Fenwick.
Present.
Chelsea Jackson Green.
Present.
Dr. Robin Williams.
Present.
Haley Swindell.
Present.
Hi, Haley. Darren Bagley Heath.
Present.
Thank you. Members of the board received an electronic agenda a week before the meeting and individually visited the sites of the project. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Are there any projects that were not properly posted this month? If so, please identify yourself and state the location. Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. These items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or a board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Hearing no projects are to be removed, I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Robin Williams, I second.
Any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. There is an item that needs to be amended on the agenda as posted. The year is coming to an end and we need to have elections, which will take place next month. But in the meantime, I need to appoint a nominating committee, which we will discuss after other business. So I ask to amend the agenda to add to other business the nominating committee. Are there any objections? No. Oh, they tell me I need a motion to add that to the to other business. May I have a motion and a second, please?
Okay, this is Chelsea Jackson Green. I make a motion that we add the nominations to the agenda today.
Rebecca Fenwick, I'll second.
Any objections? Hearing none, the item passes. Now we need a motion to accept the consent agenda. The meeting agenda.
Robin Williams, I make a motion that we accept the meeting agenda.
And a second, please.
This is Chelsea Jackson Green, I'll second.
Are there any objections to the agenda as has been listed? Hearing none, the motion passes. The approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Is there any discussion on this? Are there any corrections? Hearing none, I ask for a motion. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes from the previous meeting?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion to accept the meeting minutes from the previous meeting.
And a second?
Robin Williams, I second.
Thank you. Any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. We have no items that have been requested to be removed from the final agenda, so we will move on to the continued agenda. There are 8 items on the continued agenda. Are there any questions? These items have been continued or deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or the staff is to determine that the applications are incomplete at this time. May I have a motion to approve the continued agenda?
This is Chelsea Jackson Green. I make a motion that we approve the continued agenda.
Second, please.
This is Rebecca Fenwick, I second.
Any objections? Hearing none, the motion passes. We'll move on to the regular agenda, the Victorian District, 211 West Bolton. The presentation by staff, please.
Julie, can I get control of the screen, please? There we go. All right, is everyone seeing my screen okay?
No.
Let's see. So you're saying my screen is not showing?
Okay.
It is now.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Aslan Drosky. I will be presenting the petition for an addition for the property located at 211 West Bolton Street. The applicant is requesting approval for a rear addition here, which is to be located atop an existing and in the same dimensions as the existing first floor addition. So there will be no overall changes to the footprint of the building. So 211 West Fulton Street is a contributing building within the Victorian Historic District. As you can see in this photo, there are three existing rear additions on the property, one being the first floor porch, another being this single room on the first floor, and then this enclosed room on the second floor. Staff has determined that this portion of the building, which is currently visible and will be covered by the addition, is historic and is likely part of the historic building. So this picture shows where the applicant is proposing to demo. So as you can see, they are proposing to remove that window, take off the roof corbels, and to demolish the wall. However, staff is recommending revising the design to leave the majority of the historic wall intact, allowing for that window opening to become a door and retaining the window and roof corbels on site. Otherwise, staff does find that the addition will be subordinate and visually differentiated from the main historic building, and staff does find the remainder of the preservation standards to be met. With regards to visual compatibility in the design standards, staff finds the materials proposed for the addition to be visually compatible and to meet the standards. It is going to be hardy siding. The applicant is also proposing that this window is to be actually a custom window, which a photo was submitted to staff. It can be seen here. However, the applicant provided no dimensions or detail regarding this custom wood window, and so staff is just recommending providing the dimensions of the wood window to staff for final review and approval. Additionally, while the new roof appears to be appropriate and meets all other standards, staff would just like to ensure that the eaves extend no less than 12 inches from the supporting walls, as this information was not provided on these drawings. So with that, staff is recommending approval for the rear addition for the property located at 211 West Fulton Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is: one, provide the dimensions of the custom wood window to staff for final review and approval. Two, revise the design to leave the majority of the historic rear wall intact, allowing for the historic window opening to become a door opening, and retain the historic window and roof corbels on site. And three, ensure that the eaves extend no less than 12 inches beyond the supporting wall. Thank you, and I would be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Are there any questions from the board? Hearing none, is the petitioner present? Would you please identify yourself?
I do not see the petitioner listed under the attendees.
He's here, Mr.
I'm actually here. Yeah. This is Andre. Would you go friendly contracting? Can you guys hear me?
Please state your name for the record.
This is Andre with Eco-Friendly Contracting. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, just making sure.
Please limit your time to 10 minutes or less and address only those items that are inconsistent with the ordinance and in question by staff.
I don't have a problem with what was actually recommended. The actual window size that we will be installing in that new addition will be a 2.8 by 5.0 new custom window. As far as all the other recommendations, I don't have an issue with. Initially we wanted to actually add the corbels that we're removing to the new addition, so they can actually be incorporated into the new addition. But I know we were told they didn't want us to do that, so. Therefore, we wasn't incorporating the existing corbels. As far as the interior opening of the window into a door, that wouldn't make very good use of what the intended use of the addition was for. It was actually designed to make a existing bedroom bigger and more functional with a closet. So I don't see how that will actually function as far as what the addition is intended for. So you guys can, we have to actually come up with a solution for that. Any recommendations? I don't know. We're up for suggestions. That's all I have.
Aslan, can you show the floor plan, please?
Okay, the room is, oh, I'm sorry. You can see how small the room is now. As it exists now. It's a very small bedroom. And just like I said, we were intending on making an actual functional bedroom by making this addition, just to extend it. Basically, the majority of the addition is actually a closet because it doesn't have a closet in it. So that's basically the concept of the addition. If we put a wall there and leave the existing wall, it'll just be the same size bedroom with the extra closet. If we leave that wall there with the existing siding and just opening that window by itself. Other than that, everything else I pretty much agree on except for that.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Is there anyone from the public who would like to make a comment? Would you please raise your hand if you so like to make a comment? Hearing none, I open it up for board discussion. Is there any discussion on the matter of this addition?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I was curious if the addition could not be made lower to allow the retention of the corbels in their current location. Did anyone else, I don't know if staff can speak to that or anyone else have any thoughts on that?
I think that would be a question for the contractor to see if that's feasible.
Can I ask the question of petitioner, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Okay. Yeah, I did hear the question. I think we tried to address that the first time when we were actually designing this. If we were to do that, we'll lose our head height as far as per code inside of that bedroom. And also, too, once we make that roof completely flat, you will not be able to see the corbels from, it won't be visible anymore.
Right. I mean, there's some value in, say, like the next owner, what will they do? And the corbels will just be gone if, you know.
Well, I tried to incorporate them into the new addition. That would save in grace.
That would create a false sense of history. So that would actually make the new portion look old. And we don't want to do that.
Okay. Well, just a point of clarification from the petitioner. When you said incorporate the corbels into the new addition, do you mean leave them in their original location and just build around them, or move them to the outer edges of the new addition?
I mean, I can probably do either or. They don't have to be actually, we can actually build around them, because the way we tie our roof in, we don't have to remove them per se. Because it won't be visible. Whatever's going on against that wall won't be visible from no angle that you can think of as far as in the rear of that property. So we can't leave them.
I think there's some value in that.
Okay.
Because there's this principle about like reversibility, right? So in the future, if someone were to take this addition off and want to restore the original footprint, they could do that successfully.
Okay. And I'm not to say that we won't do any damage to them actually trying to incorporate it in there, but We'll do our best.
Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to close the discussion and ask for a motion. A motion either to approve the staff's recommendation or to make changes to the staff's recommendation.
Mention of the window.
Pardon? Do we have
opening this wall up? They're trying to say if we leave the wall.
Do I hear any more discussion on this item? Hearing none, I ask for a motion again.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I make a motion that we approve the project at 211 West Bolton Street with the staff recommendations, in addition to a new recommendation or requirement, I'm not sure what word to use there, but the staff uses recommendation, to retain the corbels as part of the construction of the new addition in that location.
Do I hear a second?
Robin Williams, I second.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I ask if there's any objections to the motion as read. Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on, we will go to 16421 West 37th.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Aslan again, and I will be presenting the petition for the alterations to the front porch roof and installation of railings for the property located at 421 West 37th Street. As you may recall, this petition was continued last month due to a few last minute changes that were proposed during the staff or during the petitioner's presentation that the board wanted to see reflected in the drawings. Excuse me. So as a recap, this photo does show the existing after the fact work on the porch. The existing porch is non-historic and was rebuilt on the property without any oversight from preservation staff or boards due to the property lying in an area which was not protected by the historic district at that time. The applicant has indicated that the porch was not built correctly, which has caused water damage and other issues. So last petition, the applicant was proposing brackets, trying to make the porch more sympathetic to a historic photo. The applicant has now removed the brackets from the proposal and is now proposing a simple finished porch roof extension with a soffit, fascia, and metal drip edge. So staff was able to find a photo from the surrounding neighborhood, which just so show a similar porch roof, which is existing below a balcony. This photo gives some indication of what the porch roof will look like finished, as well as some context within the neighborhood. So staff does find the finished porch roof extension as proposed now to be visually compatible and to meet the standards. However, staff would like to recommend the installation of a porch ceiling on the entirety of the porch and not just on the portion that is being extended. Additionally, staff would like to ensure that all of the new wood elements on the porch are finished as in painted or stained. With regards to the railing, the applicant is now proposing a wrought iron adjustable railing to be located in the center of the stoop. While staff finds this railing to be visually compatible, the applicant has not indicated a railing solution for these front two steps, as you can see here. So staff would like to recommend that the applicant speak with development services to verify if a railing is required in this location and to submit one to staff for final review and approval if it is required. Additionally, staff would like to ensure that all of the after-the-fact wood railing which currently exists on the site is removed. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the alterations to the front porch roof and railing and installation of shutters for the property located at 421 West 37th Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is one, ensure all new wood elements are painted or stained. Two, verify with development services whether a railing is required in the two steps location, and if it is required, submit a railing for this location to staff for final review and approval. Three, ensure that the existing after the fact wood railing is removed. And four, install a soffit on the entirety of the front porch roof. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions from the board.
Are there any questions of staff? Is the petitioner present?
Yes, I am present.
Please identify yourself.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Vakta. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to the board. I am. I agree with the recommendation, the staff recommendation, and the only question that I have is, do I have an amount of time to accomplish the work?
That's a question for staff.
Dr. Waka, this is Leah. So that's up to code compliance, how long you have to finish it. They will give you a time frame.
Okay.
But usually they'll work with you to come up with a time frame.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the petitioner?
No question, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Are there any public comments? Please raise your hands if so. Seeing none, I will open the item up for board discussion.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I'm recusing myself.
Okay. Got a problem. If Rebecca recuses herself, does that allow us to have a quorum?
It does. She's still present. So, okay. Yes, you still have a quorum.
Okay. Is there any comment or questions from the board? Hearing none, I close the discussion and ask for a motion. I need a motion on whether to accept the staff's recommendation.
This is Robin Williams. I make a motion that we approve the alterations of the front porch at 421 West 37th Street with staff's, including staff's conditions. I think that's it. Yeah, so approve with accepting staff conditions.
Thank you.
Is Darren Bagley, I'll second that motion.
Was that a second, Darren?
Yes.
Any objections to the staff's recommendation on 421 West 37th? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to 2318 Barnage Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Aslan again. This is the last time. And I'm going to present the petition for a new construction at 2318 Barnard Street. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a new two-story carriage house and two-story main building on this vacant lot, which can be seen here. Additionally, the applicant is requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals from standard 8.7.4.3, which on the screen real quickly, which reads that accessory dwelling units along a street must provide a 5 feet setback, and they are requesting a variance to allow for a 0 foot rear yard setback along Howard Street for that carriage house. So with the exception of the variance requested for the setback of the accessory dwelling unit, staff did find that the base zoning district standards are met with regards to the new construction. Here you can see the proposed building and scale with the two adjacent buildings. Staff does find the overall height and scale of the two-story main building to be visually compatible with the surrounding context. The carriage house is proposed to be facing Howard Street, seen here in context. The structure to the left is one of the only remaining accessory dwelling units on the street. Otherwise, they all face away from Howard Street, which you can see in this building to the right, which is actually a main building, which faces Barnard Street. Staff does find the overall height and scale of the carriage house to be visually compatible as well, as it is in scale with the other ADU on lane and should be smaller than the main building. With regards to materials, staff found that the materials proposed for the main building and carriage house are visually compatible and do meet the standards for new construction. Well, staff finds the openings on the northeast and west facades to meet the fenestration standard, which is 30% transparent features on the ground floor. Staff does not find the standard to be met on the southern elevation, which can be seen here. So staff is recommending revising the number of transparent features on the ground floor of the southern elevation to meet that 30% fenestration standard. Staff otherwise finds that the remainder of the building, main building, and carriage house are visually compatible and do meet the standards. The applicant is additionally proposing a wood fence, which can be seen here, which will begin on either side of the main building and will extend along. The right side of the building, which you can see in floor plan, along to the edge of the carriage house. The materiality and height of the fence do meet the standards. However, staff would just like to ensure that where it is parallel to this adjacent building here, that there are there's 5 feet between the fencing and that building. So with regards to the standards for accessory structures, the new carriage house is smaller than the main building, is located in the rear yard, and will maintain the side yard setbacks of the main building. The applicant is requesting, as I said, a variance recommendation to allow for the building to be built with a 0 foot setback on Howard Street. And I will expand on this when I speak about the variance criteria in a moment. But additionally, staff would also like to ensure that the carriage house is separated by 10 feet from the main building. We have spoken to the applicant and they have indicated that this will be pictured on the final drawings. Staff just wanted to keep this condition to ensure it. So with regards to building coverage and size, the accessory structure standards for this proposed carriage house are met. However, as you can see here on the second floor plan, for the carriage house, there are two bedrooms pictured, which does not meet the standard of accessory dwelling units only having one bedroom. So staff is just recommending revising the carriage house to feature one bedroom, but otherwise the remainder of the accessory structure standards are met. As I mentioned previously, the applicant is requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance to allow for the carriage house to have a 0 foot setback along Howard Street. You can see that setback in more detail here, or lack of. The standards for the accessory structures require a rear setback of 5 feet along a street ordinarily. So the applicant has indicated that their reasoning for requesting a variance is that Howard Street, which is a north-south street, operates as a lane. As you can see here, they've provided photos which indicate that all properties on this block besides the remaining accessory dwelling unit do face away from Howard Street. Staff does find this to be a special condition for this property and finds that the literal interpretation of the ordinance would deprive them of rights offered to other carriage houses along lanes in this district. Additionally, with regards to the variance criteria, staff finds that the variance criteria does meet the variance criteria, excuse me. The variance is not financial in nature and is consistent with the historic character of the street, which can be seen here in this 1916 Zandvoort map, which depicts quite a few accessory dwelling units that have a 0-foot setback along Howard Street. So with that, staff is recommending approval of the new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a 2-story main house facing Barnard Street and a 2-story carriage house on Howard Street for the property located at 2318 Barnard Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that is 1, revise the number of transparent features on the ground floor of the southern facade to be at least 30% of the facade. 2, ensure that there is a minimum of 5 feet between the side yard fencing and the buildings to which it will be parallel. 3, ensure that the carriage house is separated from the principal structure by at least 10 feet. 4, revise the carriage house to contain 1 bedroom. And recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the section 8.7.4.3 standard, which reads detached accessory dwelling units shall have a rear yard setback requirement of at least 5 feet, provided that if the accessory dwelling is located on a lot that abuts a lane, the rear yard setback shall be at least 3 feet to allow for a 0-foot rear yard setback along Howard Street because the variance criteria are met. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Are there any questions of staff? Hearing none, I ask, is the petitioner present?
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have. We have no concerns. Thank you to the staff for the thorough presentation and staff report. We have no issues or concerns with any of the conditions. We will be updating the construction drawings to add the additional dimensions that that were requested, and are happy to comply with all the recommendations. Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Ryan.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Ryan Arve with Historic Savannah Foundation. On behalf of our Architectural Review Committee, there were 3 things I wanted to point out about this property. Our ARC takes no issue with the carriage house or the request for a variance, but rather we want to focus our comments on the front facade of the building. While the front facade technically meets the letter of the law so far as the ordinance goes, we do believe that there are a few things that might make it more visually compatible, soften it up a little bit, add a little bit more nuance or character to it. Is it possible, staff, to pull up the a street view of Barnard? The surrounding houses predominantly have round columns on the buildings. It's not that there aren't any homes on this street or block with square columns. We're not saying that, but if you look at almost all of the surrounding buildings, especially those next door that flank the building, those two, as well as the ones further south, they all predominantly have round columns. We think this would be more visually appropriate. We also think that a hipped roof actually might be more appropriate for this house as well. And thirdly, if you'll go back, thank you. We take issue with the transom windows above the first floor windows. Just not something you're really used to seeing in the historic precedent. It looks odd, and think that this would just be better handled making those full floor to ceiling windows, but losing the transoms. So round columns, hipped roof, no transoms above the windows. Those are all our comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Hearing none, I will open it up to board discussion. Ellen, I'm sorry, does the petitioner have any response to the public comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We did look at the issue of round versus square columns, and we did find that there were historic precedents directly across the street to use a square column. That is what we prefer to use. However, if the board were to, you know, feel strongly about that, it's not a deal breaker. We could go with round columns if it were necessary, but we prefer the square, and there is historic precedent on the same block. Regarding the hipped roof, the change to a gable to a hipped roof, again, we prefer a gable roof. We think that that it's visually compatible. If it were a deal breaker, you know, it wouldn't. If the board felt strongly that it'd be a hipped roof, that would be fine as well. And essentially the same thing with the transom windows. If the board prefers to see floor to ceiling windows on the ground floor porch, we could make that change. But thank you to Historic Savannah for those thoughtful comments.
Thank you. Now to board discussion.
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I recuse myself.
Okay. Any discussion amongst the remaining board?
This is Robin Williams. I just have a question for the petitioner. I was just looking at Google Street View, and the only building across the street with square columns is a recent infill building. I'm just curious what building you see that has square piers as opposed to round columns.
If you can just give me a second to pull that up, and we can come back to that question, I will do that if the board wants to continue. It'll just take me a minute to find it.
Sure.
Haslin, can you show the street view? It's on the northeast corner of the intersection. So if you go to the right, it's that one right there.
The one, that three-story building?
Yes.
That has fluted, the fluting was throwing me in one angle. It looked round because of the fluting.
It gets down to, is there a rationale for square versus round, since round is certainly more prevalent on that side of the street with the neighboring buildings?
It was simply a preference of the property owner.
Okay. Because it's just odd using this one across the street, because it's not conventional, and these are highly articulated square columns or piers with moldings and all sorts of details. They're not just simple square columns, as people are calling them. So it just, anyway, I'll defer to my colleagues on the panel, but I am sympathetic. Actually, I think the hipped roof, the massing of the hipped roof, is a more important component to embrace here.
Any other comments? Nobody has any comments? Okay, we'll close the discussion and I'll ask for a motion. Can I have a motion to either approve staff's recommendation?
This is Bob Williams. I'll make a motion, just pulling up the wording.
Okay.
Just got to get to the staff recommendations. Sorry, I pulled up the wrong one. Hang on a sec. It's number 17?
Yes,
the staff recommendations are on the screen.
Okay, I just like having it on another computer here. Okay, I make a motion that we approve new construction, small parts 1 and 2 for the two-story main house facing 2318 Barnard. With staff recommendations, plus the recommended approval of the Zoning Board of Appeals for variance for the section 8.7.4.III, as well as additional requirements that the roof be modified from a gable to a hip on the main building, that the transom be removed. And that the columns, I'm on the fence on the columns. And columns be round. Okay. That's it.
Do I have a second?
This is Darren Hart, Bagley Heath. I'll second that.
Okay, can we have a discussion on the motion? Is there anyone who'd like to make a comment? Hearing none, I ask, is there any objection to the motion as listed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Item 18, 407 West 35th Street.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Olivia Arfuso. I'll be presenting the petition for the rehabilitation of, with alterations to, the property located at 407 West 35th Street. The board first saw this petition on July 28th, where it was continued, and October 6th, staff received revised drawings. All unoriginal exterior aluminum siding is proposed to be removed and wood siding will be installed. Most windows on the building will be replaced. The front entry door is proposed to be replaced with a wood door, while the existing entrance and side lights are proposed to be restored. The entrance side lights and transom are proposed to be restored and repaired in kind. The front porch is proposed to have all existing handrails and balusters restored and replaced in kind. The brick porch piers and brick lattice infill will be repaired in kind as needed. The roof will also be replaced in kind with new asphalt shingles, and concerning the proposed alterations, a metal staircase along the rear providing access to the second floor will be removed, as well as an existing rear shed, and both were determined to be non-historic. Regarding the preservation standards, staff would like to note that one window on the principal building does not appear in the proposed drawings. So this window right here, leading staff to conclude that it is proposed to be infilled However, staff does believe that this may just be an oversight on the drawings. Therefore, we ask that the petitioner revise the drawings to show all original window openings on the principal building accounted for and unaltered. Staff determined that most of the proposed materials will be visually compatible with the contributing buildings to which the property is visually related. However, staff would like the petitioner to ensure that Marvin Ultimate Wood double hung single pane true divided light windows are used instead of the proposed simulated divided light windows. In regard to the design standards, the existing wood fence is proposed to be replaced with a new wood fence. Staff determined that the fence appears to be approximately 6 feet in height. That being said, we would still like the petitioner to ensure that the proposed fence is located within the side or rear yard behind the front facade of the building, not including the front porch, and that the fence height does not exceed the 6 feet as submitted. Also, to ensure that the fence is either painted or stained. To summarize, staff recommends that the board approve the petition for the rehabilitation of and alterations to the property located at 407 West 35th Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, revise the drawings to show all original window openings on the principal building accounted for and unaltered. Two, ensure that all repairs and/or replacements match the original elements in design, size, color, texture, and materials when applicable. Ensure that all work is undertaken using the gentlest means possible to avoid damage to any historic materials. And ensure that the existing roof shape and configuration, including the porch roofs, are not altered in any way. Three, ensure that any deteriorated wood siding is replaced in kind with appropriate wood boards that match the original siding in profile, dimension, and other visual qualities. Four, ensure that the original openings on the principal building are not altered in any way, and that Marvin Windows Ultimate Wood double hung single pane true divided light windows are used instead of the proposed simulated divided light. Ensure that all light configurations are historically appropriate and that all glass is transparent with no dark tints or reflective effects. And five, ensure that the proposed fence is located within the side or rear yard behind the front facade of the building, not including the front porch, and that the fence height does not exceed 6 feet as submitted, and ensure that the fence is either painted or stained. Thank you, and I now open for any questions from the board.
Are there any questions of staff?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I had a question. I saw that color was mentioned in the recommendations. Is there an instance where color can be regulated in this district?
Number two.
That shouldn't be there. Our apologies.
That's okay. I was just curious. And then also, are you specifying the window type because you've already had a conversation with the applicant about using that specific type?
No, so he's proposing to use the Marvin Windows Ultimate Wood double hung single pane. Except he's proposing simulated dividing light, so we're recommending that it's true divided light because it is a historic.
Thank you. Building. Right.
Are there any other questions of staff? Hearing none, is the petitioner present?
Yes, this is James Reardon. I have no objections to the comments, and I appreciate staff making the presentation. I do have one comment in terms of the true divided light. If you zoom in on the note on this page, A202, in the new front elevation, if you zoom in on that note below the dimension line, I do call out a true divided light, not simulated divided light. I just wanted that to be noted. There as well, you know, true divided light. But otherwise, I mean, I have no objections to the comments.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, is there any public comment? Hearing none, I ask open it up for board discussion. Are there any questions or comments that the board would like to make? Hearing none, I close the discussion and ask for a motion. Do we accept the staff's recommendation or do we amend it?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I motion that we approve the project at 407 West 35th Street with staff's conditions 1 through 5.
Do I have a second?
This is Darren Bagley. I'll second that.
Thank you. Do we have any discussion on the emotions? Hearing none, I ask, are there any objections to the approval of staff's recommendation on 407 West 35th? Hearing none, the motion passes. Petition 19, 529 East 36th Street.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the board. This is Monica Gann. The application is for 529 East 36th Street. The applicant is proposing rehab and alterations, including repairing existing windows, repairing existing wood siding, and replace where needed, repointing existing brick piers, reinforcing them with CMU, a new covered porch, roof replacement on the main house, and a roof on the covered porch, new shutters, replace wood railings and pickets for front and rear porches. The covered rear porch is to be added to the front of the house. It is to be constructed in wood. The roof form is to be hip. The columns are to be round columns with Tuscan cap and base. The front and rear porches are to be 1x1 pickets and new railings. The standard met with the proposed reconstruction of the covered front porch was once lost based on historical photographs. Sorry, it's going very slow. This is a photo that was taken by staff in 2010. Windows and window trim are proposed to be repaired in kind. The windows on the rear facade, however, are proposed to be removed and infilled with closed shutters. Also on the west side, The window on the second floor is also is proposed to be removed and infill with shutters, which does not meet the standard. The existing CMU wall that is on the rear, it is to be repaired with existing material, which is CMU. So based on staff recommendations, we recommend approval for the rehab and alterations at 529 East 36th Street with the following conditions. Otherwise, work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, redesign the railings to replicate the railings that can be seen in the 2010 photo. Two, retain the three historic windows that are proposed to be removed and infill with shutters. Three, if the board does not include condition number two above, ensure exterior shutters shall consist of a durable wood species. Shutters should be sized to fit the window opening and operable, hinged and able to close over the window. Four, ensure eaves of the proposed front porch roof extend no less than 12 inches behind the supporting walls. And that is all. If the board has any questions.
Does the board have any questions of staff?
This is Robin Williams. Since we have good photographic evidence of what was there before, including Google Street View from 2007 and 2012, the porch is still there. It looks like, it's kind of hard to tell, but it looks like the original entablature was taller than the current proposal. Would the goal be to replicate the original form as much as possible?
Yes, that is correct.
And does the current proposal have fluting on the columns?
No, it does not.
Because if you go to the Google Street View of 2012, you can see fluting on the upper two-thirds of each column. The next dot over, the second dot from the left, and now zoom in. And there you go.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Are there any other comments or questions? Is the petitioner present?
Yes, I'm here. This is John Leonard from Sawyer Design. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, again, John Leonard, Sawyer Design here representing the owners. Overall, we agree with staff's recommendations and certainly we'll do what we can to accommodate them. I think the question of the shutters, we would have the preference of enclosing the windows, but using a traditional wood shutter that would meet the code and then with operable hardware. So it would look like a traditional shutter. We wouldn't have any issues adding that. Overall, we're trying to keep as much of the existing building as possible. Thank you, Dr. Williams, for finding the column picture for us. I don't think we have any issue whether the column is round or fluted. We will leave that in the board's hands on what direction they would like us to go in. Outside of that, I'm here to answer any questions that I can.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, is there anyone here from the public that would like to make a comment? Ryan?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. On behalf of our Architectural Review Committee, we wanted to just share two thoughts. Number one, we wholeheartedly agree with Dr. Williams that not only should the columns be round, but they should include the fluting detail. The drawings indicate that the columns will be round, but they are rendered in a very uniform fashion. Instead of the tapered design that you see in the photos. So we just want to make sure that it's clear that the columns should be tapered with the fluting on the upper two-thirds. The other thing that we were going to mention is that if the board sees fit to allow the three blind windows, which we think is a fairly creative solution. It would look odd to have three windows enclosed with shutters and not have any shutters on the rest of the house. So what ARC would recommend is that if that is allowed, that at least the two primary facades, being the north and the east facade, those windows should have actual operable shutters on them. I don't know that there's any reason to have it on the west facade, but at least those two primary facades on the corner should all have shutters if the enclosed windows are going to be enclosed with shutters. And those were our two comments. Thank you. Otherwise, we agree with staff.
Are there any questions or concerns from the petitioner of the public comments?
This is John Leonard back with Sawyer Design again. As for the addition of the shutters around the house, that actually would be a good idea. I don't see any reason why we couldn't accommodate that if that's what the board would like us to do. And then the same thing as for the cleanup of the column, yeah, we'll make sure the taper is in there so it's appropriate. It's just a matter of do we do flutes or do we leave them smooth? And I don't know that we have a preference either way.
Okay, I will open it up for board discussion. Is there any discussion with amongst the board?
I was wondering, this is Rebecca Fenwick. I didn't get to unmute during questions to the petitioner in time, but I wondered about those windows that need to be blocked. Could they not just read as windows from the outside and have walls on the inside? I assume it's a floor plan issue. Or maybe they truly will be hiding a window. I don't know.
Is the petitioner here that can answer that question?
Yes, again, John Leonard. It would be a floor plan issue. We would prefer just to block the windows and then leave the exterior trim and cover them over with shutters. It becomes a maintenance issue later on down the road. And you know, how do you keep the inside of the windows clean and operable along, you know, future use?
So will there truly be windows behind the shutters?
No, we would just remove the window altogether, but we would still leave the historic trim that is there and all that would remain in place.
Are there any other comments? I will close the discussion of this item and ask for a motion that we either approve the staff recommendation or we amend the recommendation.
This is Robin Williams. I'll make a motion for the approval of the rehabilitation alterations to the property at 529 East 36th Street with staff, with the following conditions recommended by staff, as well as the redesign or with a requirement that the columns replicate the original columns as documented in Google Street View of 2012 with that are tapered, round, tapered, and with fluting in the upper two-thirds, a unique column that should really be retained as a character-defining feature of this building. Oh, and the addition of shutters on the north and west facades, operable shutters.
Do I have a second?
I have a question. This is Rebecca. Are you saying then not to include condition number two? Robin?
Hold on. Let me reread the conditions.
To retain the windows.
Right. I thought that's what the discussion ended up being, that they'll retain them.
No.
Oh, I guess I lost track of that discussion.
Shutters route, and then we lose the windows.
Sorry, say that again.
If you move into the realm of shutters, then you're agreeing to lose the three historic windows.
Oh, okay. So where did this? So was the petitioner okay keeping the historic windows? I thought the petitioner wanted to go this route. I've lost track of the.
No, you're correct. I think the preference was to go the shutters route. I was asking you if you were excluding that number two. So
what is the feeling of the board that we should keep the historic windows and have operable shutters? So they could close the shutters, but it would retain the windows. Is that what you're saying?
That would be my preference.
And these are on the south elevation? Or wait, three historic windows.
It's a corner lot.
Right, so it's going to be visible regardless. Okay, I can, since this hasn't been second, I can do a quick amendment here. I make a motion that we approve the rehabilitation of an alteration of the property at 529 East 36th with the staff recommendations 1, 3, and 4. And the addition of the replication of that the columns replicate the original columns as documented in Google Street View of 2012 that are round, tapered, and with fluting in the upper two-thirds, and the addition of operable shutters on the west and north facades. Does that get it, Rebecca? Or is it north and east? Sorry, north and east facades.
Isn't it the east and south?
I'm turned around. Can someone help?
What? South.
Does this building face south or is it face north? It faces north.
Correct.
So it'd be the north and east facades.
The windows with the shutters are on the east and south.
Right, but I think what was being said, scroll back the other way if you wouldn't mind,
was to add shutters to the front facade and the north and east.
So does that mean there will be no shutters on the front facade?
If the north facade is the front facade.
Got it. Great. Excellent.
I think I finished the motion.
I second the motion. Rebecca Fenwick.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Do I hear any objections to the motion as read? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Number 20, 517 East 39th Street, new construction, small part.
Just bear with me while I find the correct project. All right, I found it. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for a two-story carriage house garage apartment for the property located at 517 East 39th Street. A non-contributing shed structure at the rear of the property is proposed to be demolished. The parcel is 63 feet wide from here to here, with the main historic building situated on the west side of the parcel. And the new carriage house is proposed to be situated on the east, southeast side. I'm sorry, do I have that backwards? No, that's right. Southeast portion of the parcel. Therefore, although it's at the rear of the property, just to be clear, it's not behind the main historic building. It's not that that's unusual. I just wanted to be very clear about that. The main historic building was constructed in 1915 and is a contributing resource. With regard to visual compatibility and the roof shape of the proposed carriage house, this is the front-facing facade. I think this one is helpful too. There is a fence proposed right in this location. And so they've shown the elevation without the fence and then an elevation with the fence here. So with regard to the roof shape, staff recommends revisions that include, so I'm calling this the eyebrow. It's sometimes called other things, but we're recommending that this middle portion be taken out and that the eyebrow returns be approximately, you know, similar to the main building. They do already have a same light pattern, so staff felt that it would be more visually compatible to have a similar roof design as well. Otherwise, we do feel that the building is visually compatible. With regard to the design standards, the majority of these standards are met, except for a couple that I'm going to go over here. I must have written down the wrong page number, pardon me. Oh, no, I didn't. So the elevations show that there's a header sill, projecting sill and trim around the windows, but the window detail does not. So we're asking that that header surrounds and printout sill be added to reflect what's shown in the elevations. Refuse storage is not indicated on the site plan, so we'd be looking for that location. And then vehicular access. So driveway, when a parcel doesn't have access to a lane, a driveway is permitted from the street. And there actually is an existing driveway there now. Staff had presume that it was going to be replaced because it is in poor condition. However, I'll let the applicant talk about it. But so staff is recommending that the driveway, so it's currently shown as solid, and driveways off the street require the that the strip design be used with
grass planted in between. So staff is recommending to revise the driveway design to meet those standards. And again, the applicant did mention that they plan to keep what's there, but I'll let her discuss that a little bit more. And the last thing is that there isn't any indication that this is the only new fence right here. This is an existing fence. There wasn't any indication that the fence will be painted or stained, and section 9.6 of the ordinance requires that. Staff is recommending approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval. Because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, revise the roof's eyebrow to have a partial return to match the width of those found on the main historic building. Two, revise the window framing members to feature header surrounds and pronounced sill. Three, locate the refuse storage area and ensure that it's screened. Four, revise the driveway design. And five, ensure the fence is painted or stained. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of staff? Hearing none, is the petitioner present?
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation. Thank you again for hearing this petition, and thank you to Ms. Mihalik for the review. We have agree with all the conditions. We are happy to revise the roof eyebrow to show the framing members, which are intended to have a header surrounds and pronounced sill, but we'll make sure that that's consistent and on the drawings. The refuse storage area will be located within the building. We can add that to the drawings as well. As Ms. Mihalik mentioned, the owner of the property intends to use the existing driveway for access to the carriage house. So for condition number four, may I just suggest adding the words, if replaced, and revise the driveway design to be no wider than 12 feet with the ribbon strip edges. The owner feels like he can make use of it as is, but you know, if it does become necessary to replace it, then it would obviously need to come into compliance with the current standards. So no problem keeping that condition in there, maybe just add the words if replaced. And I believe that's it. We will certainly ensure that the fence is painted or stained, and we're happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, is there anyone from the public who'd like to make a comment? Hearing none, I open it up for board discussion. Are there any comments, feelings, or discussion?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I recuse myself.
Anyone have a question or such? I have a question, if I may ask. Is it in the standards the requirement that the fence be solid wood boards that buckle and pop?
Well, that is the requirement to paint or stain is supposed to help protect that. That's why there's standard that said that it at least be 5 inches thick. And if it's other than cypress or cedar, it'd be painted or stained. So that is supposed to help with that buckling situation. But the only other fence standards are right here, permitted materials, which, you know, wood is just simply listed. So in theory, these standards here are supposed to help with that problem.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the matter? May I have a motion to either approve staff's recommendation or to alter it as to the way you see fit? Anybody working on a motion? I need a motion, folks.
I'm waiting for one of my colleagues to make a motion.
I don't know if they are. Can you make one?
I'm wondering if the other members are even present.
You and me both. I think maybe we need to do a roll call. Chelsea Jackson Green, are you present?
Hi, sorry, I'm here. I was trying to get the unmute button. I can make a motion if Robin doesn't want to, or I can second.
Well, yeah, I'd love you to make a motion. I'm sort of motioned out.
Okay, all righty. Did you still want to do the roll call, Virginia?
No, if I got a motion in a second, we will do the roll call when this is finished.
Okay, all right. So I make a motion to approve staff recommendations for new constructions, part one and two of 517 East 39th Street, with all of the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review.
Do I have a second?
Robin Williams, I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. Is there anyone who objects to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board.
Pardon?
I just said thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. That's all. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to do a quick roll call to see who's present. Rebecca Fenwick?
Present.
Chelsea Jackson Green?
Present.
Dr. Robin Williams?
Present.
Haley Swindell? Darren Bagley Heath? Is Darren... Do Haley and Darren, do you have your mics muted? Okay. Can someone maybe try and call them and see if they're having technical difficulties?
We're going to try and send them chats.
Okay.
Should we go ahead?
Yes, we're going to go ahead in the essence of time because we still got a number of things on the agenda. 219 East 32nd Street, new construction.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts one and two for a two-story single-family dwelling for this vacant parcel located at 219 East 32nd Street. The parcel does not have access to a lane, as you can see here. Therefore, the required parking is accessed from East 32nd Street here. So I don't usually, unless it's pertinent, don't go into too much detail on the history of a parcel, like I said, unless it's pertinent. But I thought I would look at this or show you all this real quick because it's pretty interesting. So this is the parcel we're talking about right now. As you can see, there's not a main building on it, and this is 1916, and it was actually on the same parcel as this historic building that's still here. Well, it continued that way until, I mean, this is 1973. So it's just it's not often that we find a parcel that hasn't had a main building on it. So I found that interesting and thought you might as well. We figure it was divided off, this lot was divided off sometime in the recent past.
Where is the lot line now?
There's not one here. That's so we think that
you know, this was on one parcel here, and at some point it was divided about here. And this is the parcel we're looking at today.
Oh, okay.
So just interesting. So the applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the base zoning district standard. And that is for those minimum frontage requirements of the lot face here of 70%. And they are requesting the building frontage to be 60% here. And we'll get into that in a little bit. So again, with the building frontage, they are requesting a variance from the standard. And you all will make a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals. With regard to visual compatibility, I'm going to point out a couple of items, but in general, we feel that the building is visually compatible. So with regard to openings, this side facade, which is the east facade, does not meet the minimum fenestration percentage for the ground floor, which is 30%. And with regard to the roof shape, staff is recommending approval of this roof shape, but we did want to point out that the front-facing gables are a little bit unusual in this area. However, we do feel that although front-facing gables are not common on this block, that they do help to differentiate the building from the contributing buildings while still being visually compatible. With regard to the design standards, so the height of the raised slab was not provided. You can see that here. And the ordinance requires that it be a minimum of 30 inches above grade. So we just want to have that on the drawings and ensure that that standard is met. Front porches are required to have express piers and be the same material as the main foundation. So you can see here that it neither has express piers nor is stucco to match. So we are recommending that this be redesigned so that both the foundation materials are the same, whether that be brick or stucco, and then this have the appropriate express piers with the infill. And just a clarification, the drawings state that the windows are Geldwin, but it doesn't state which series. And the Geldwin Sightline series is the only Geldwin window that has previously been approved by the commission for use on new construction. So we're just asking the applicant to clarify that the Sightline series is proposed. If another series is proposed, they'll have to come back with a full size sample for review. One other concern is that it's again with the materials of the front stoop. You can see here that a concrete finish is proposed on the front stoop so it's a bare concrete with a brick facade here, without a wood apron or any kind of overhang. And we're asking that that be revised to be one, the floor material revised to be one that's permitted. So brick, painted or stained wood, wood composite, precast stone, I'm sure it wouldn't be marble, sandstone or slate, but those are the materials that are permitted. And the railing is proposed to be 36 inches high, but we're asking to ensure the balusters do not exceed 4 inches spacing. And right now the balusters are shown as just 1 inch square, which we don't feel is visually compatible and that they should be a minimum of 1.5 inches square. The electric meter is not shown on the drawings. Anywhere here. So we ask that the location be shown. And the last thing, which is very minor, is they are showing the appropriate driveway strips. there's just not an indication that grass is planted in between, which is a requirement. So with regard to the variance recommendation to allow for the frontage to be 60%, I'm just going to go over that now. So the criteria, if you recall, are general consistency with the ordinance, special conditions, literal interpretation, and the minimum variance needed. Staff finds that the criteria are met. Off-street parking is required for this new construction project. I'm going to zoom in here. And if the building covered 70% of the frontage of the property along the street, the site would not be able to accommodate the off-street parking because there's no lane access. Additionally, this lot is wider than the typical lot, and meeting the standard would make a single-family home that is unusually wide and not visually compatible. Staff is recommending approval with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. Ensure the raised slab foundation height is a minimum of 30 inches. Revise the stoop piers to match the stucco foundation and provide the appropriate infill between the piers. Ensure that the gelled window is the sightline series and increase the openings on the ground floor of the east facade to a minimum of 30%. 4, redesign the stoop floor so that it does not include concrete. 5, ensure the balusters do not exceed 4 inches and increase the baluster to a minimum of 1.5 inches square. Locate the electric meter on a secondary or rear facade and ensure the area between the strips is planted with grass. And recommend approval to the ZBA for a variance from the base zoning district standard of building frontage to be a minimum of 70% in order to allow for the building frontage to be 60% because the variance criteria are met. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of staff?
Rebecca, can you go back to the current street view image showing the neighbors?
This one?
Yeah, so I guess the building, I can't quite see, but the building will be in line or have a similar setback to the gray building on the right, right?
Right, so it's actually in between these, well, it's closer to this one, but it is set back a little bit further than that one too.
Because does that, where it's at, but all three buildings face or front 32nd Street, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep, here's 32nd.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
I have a question for staff.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
It appears that the driveway being proposed will require a curb cut, and they're historic granite curbs. I know we don't yet have an ordinance that regulates these kind of things, but is it possible that we can at least put in a recommendation that when the curb cut is being made, that the original curbs are retained but just reduced in height, so that a curb cut, and it looks like they'll have to take out one of those two trees, but can we make a recommendation? I know where it's, I don't know what our scope is. Can we make such a recommendation that curbs, historic curbs, be retained but adjusted to accommodate for the curb cut?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, when it goes for the driveway permit.
Who approves that?
That's traffic engineering. There's a driveway permit is separate from a building permit. And I know they have standard details for things like that, city approved details. But I don't see why, and Mr. Leonard can talk about this, but he may need to, when he applies for his driveway permit, supply them with a copy of the COA application with the condition in it.
Right. And it I'm not aware. I've seen it both ways. I've seen curb cuts done where the granite is preserved but just lowered in profile, and I've seen them just wholesale removed and concrete put in its place. And we also have an historic brick sidewalk right there. That, you know, the, presumably, I don't know how that is. It looks like this, well, the rendering just says brick sidewalk, and it doesn't look like they're going to remove the sidewalk. They just drive over it. Is that correct?
That's what it looks like in the site plan, but I mean, you could just confirm with the applicant that's their intention. It does not look like they're planning to remove any of that. And yeah, it is pretty flush. Oops.
Mm-hmm. There actually is a bit of a, it's sort of a mixed bag. The new sidewalk extends partly into the area of the driveway, and then there's a sort of a somewhat, that behind that tree, there's sort of a, looks like a patch of not so great brickwork. So anyway, that it, I guess at some point, it's not in our purview, but it would be good if at some point elements beyond the building that are historic be folded into our purview.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It is city property. So, it you know, we'd have to work with them to devise some standards.
Right. But if it could, if a recommendation could be extended to the traffic engineering, that'd be great, even if it came from staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that you could make a condition for the applicant to discuss such with traffic engineering.
Okay. Very good.
Is the petitioner present?
Yes, this is John Leonard with Sawyer Design. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Beautiful. Overall, we agree with all of staff recommendations. I think they're all great, and I think they're all very viable and easy to take care of. I do have one question about the meter location. We do show it on the site plan in the back corner on the driveway side. We certainly can put it in a different location, but figured that was probably the easiest place to where the power company can still get to it and lead it and still make it so it's off the street to where the general public cannot see it.
Yeah, my apologies. I just didn't see it.
Yeah, no big deal. I mean, and that's certainly easy to move if we need to. And then I guess there was one question about the front setback. The current ordinance of the area is a 5-foot front yard setback. So we tried to adhere to that as close as we could while still aligning it with at least one of the two buildings. If we need to push the house back or find sort of a middle ground between the two, we have room to be able to push that back, but I'm not sure if that is the right solution or not. I will lean on the board recommendations on what should happen there. And then Dr. Williams brought up a question about the sidewalk and what would retain any of the sidewalk. We're gonna have to retain all of it. The city won't let us mess with it. And the same thing with the granite curb cuts. I think that's a great idea to try to retain as much of them as we possibly can. If anyone has any questions, I'll try to answer them the best way that I can.
This is Leah. I have a quick comment. Not trying to contradict you, John, but the zoning, the base zoning, when it's in a local historic district, mm-hmm. actually asks the front setback to be comparable to the existing buildings on the block face. Right. I think that 5 foot comes in as if that zoning not in a historic district. But that being said, the minimum rear yard setback is 20 feet, which is what you have. So
yes.
Unless you make it shallower, which I don't think is appropriate, you're right on exactly where you can be.
No, I'm glad that you pointed that out. Thank you.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, is there anyone here from the public who'd like to make a comment? Katie Jones, I'm sorry, please excuse me. Go ahead.
I have a question just on the floor plan. What's the process for viewing the windows and understanding how they align to the neighbors?
Leah, can you answer that question?
Do you mean how they align to the neighbors' windows?
Yep, like are they directly in front? Are they staggered?
So that's not one of the requirements to be shown in the drawings submitted to us, but I think you could have a conversation with the architect and look at that. I presume you're one of the neighbors.
Yeah.
so I would recommend having a conversation with Mr. Leonard to make sure that, you know, you all can get on the same page with that. And then if there's any minor, you know, changes to those window locations, John, we can just look at that separately.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, this is John Leonard again. Yeah, in terms of window locations, you know, we do have a little bit of flexibility of moving them left or right. Although we are going to have to add a couple more so we can get closer to the requirements on the sides.
Anyone else from the public? Hearing none, I open it up for. Oh,
Ryan,
excuse me. Ryan, you're getting slow over there.
thank you, Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. I just got three points to share from our ARC discussion. Staff, would you be able to bring up the front elevation again real quick, please? In terms of the front porch, we have no objection in this particular case to the use of the square columns, as there is a predominant use of them on the block. We do think that they might be a little bit disproportionate compared to some of the other houses, and wondered if the architect would consider an 8-foot square column. Not a huge issue there. Obviously, adding some chamfering can always add some detail. Our primary concern, though, is with the projecting bay. We don't have a problem with it per se. It's just that central kind of shed style little roof that sticks out. Yes, thank you. Between the upper and lower floor. So there is a precedent for that type of architectural feature on the block. Now, most of the houses on the block have true bay windows. If you go up is it possible to pull up an actual? Yes, that's a good example there. Now, that's obviously a bay, but it has a kind of more articulated kind of curved apron, I call it. We think that the new construction can keep the square protruding bay, but try and maybe make it more of a hipped roof. If you go back to the front elevation, Leah, yeah, currently it just has these kind of flat angled sides. There you go. You can see it there. Thank you. And we just think it would be a lot more elegant and a lot more visually compatible if it kind of mimicked the neighbors a little bit more. The other issue we have with the bay is there's just very little articulation in the drawings. You have those, what I presume are three recessed panels. There's no trim inside of them. Sometimes they have diagonal kind of tongue and groove. There should be some kind of inset trim or little corner medallions, just something to give it just a little bit more nuance. And you can see that, yes, up and down the street on a lot of the Victorians, there's heavy Victorian architecture on the street. And so, again, we felt that that just needed a little bit more articulation. And the last thing that we'll point out on the front elevations is the eaves and soffits are rendered and drawn very boxy. There's no crown molding. There's no trim on any of on either of the pediments above the front porch or the eaves and soffits of the main hipped roof. Yes, thank you. You can just see they're kind of just these flat square kind of fascia boards, and it would go a long way to add some crown molding and trim. So in summation, maybe a narrower porch column, more articulation on the apron, on the bay, more detail in the recessed panels, and on the soffit trim. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other any questions of Historic Savannah? Hearing none, I'll open it up for board discussion. Is there anyone who has comments, feelings, or thoughts?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I agree with many of Ryan's comments, and I also feel very strongly about the number of windows on that, the facade that we're looking at in the top right. And I know there's a standard, but and I'm actually curious, maybe I don't know if that neighbor's on that side or not, but you know, I hate to see a blank facade. It seems it always catches my eye and is unusual when there is a blank facade like that. So that's all for now.
Okay. Any other comments?
This is Robin Williams. I'm looking at an infill building that was approved by the, I'm trying to find an example that might be a comparable and something that has near identical neighbors, and it's at 502 East Oglethorpe.
I'll see if I can show them all in context, because I know exactly which building you're talking about, but it's...
Yeah, so if you go east on Oglethorpe, you'll have those three Italianate neighbors, which are almost identical to the ones that are on East 32nd. And here you can see, just for point of reference, a boxy, the three neighbors to the right of that, to the east of this infill project, all have polygonal bay windows, just like on 32nd Street. And yet the infill has a boxy. So I just thought it'd be helpful. Actually, I think the detailing on the proposed building is actually better than this one that has siding in between the windows, which actually I don't think is a great solution. I think the panels that they propose is actually a better solution. But I agree with Ryan Arve's comments that even though it's infill construction, I think there is an opportunity for some detail that would be maybe a modern response to the kind of Italianate detailing. Doesn't have to be so plain as this. This to me is almost too plain. And I think whatever the applicant can do, petitioner could do to add some detail to the proposal would be welcome.
Thank you. Any other comments from anybody? Hearing none, I'll close the discussion and ask for a motion, either to accept the approval of staff recommendation or to amend the recommendation.
I just want to check where the discussion with the petitioner, are all the staff recommendations still intact?
This is the petitioner. Yes, we are going to go adhere to all of the staff recommendations.
Okay. This is Robin Williams. I make a motion for approval of new construction parts 1 and 2 for the property at 219 East 32nd Street with staff recommendations, as well as the addition of greater detailing for it to be worked with staff to be, what's the phrase? To work with staff to achieve greater detailing in the paneling in the bay and up in the cornice, as well as, were there other recommendations? I've lost track. Additional from the board. Rebecca?
I'm thinking.
I'm trying to remember what HSF recommended.
You did mention the shape of the roof between the two floors and the bay window. Oh,
and the restudy of the roof between the two floors of the projecting bay, as well as a recommendation to the traffic engineering that the historic sidewalk and granite curbs be retained and modified as needed to allow for a curb cut, and recommend approval to the Zoning Board of Appeals for variance from the base zoning district standards, reducing the building frontage from 70% to 60%.
You also did mention molding, adding crown molding to the porch.
Yes, I said to work with staff on the detailing of the panels below the windows on the bay, the cornice molding, and the skirting between the two floors on the bay.
Do you want eight inch square columns?
What are they proposed as?
10 square.
Oh, so they're too thick? Was that I didn't catch what the problem was about the columns, whether they're square, but are they too heavy? Is that the concern?
That was what Mr. Arve said, yes.
Because I'm trying to figure out what the down the block. I'm trying to think, one of the houses at 214. I'm trying to figure out what the dimensions on those are. Okay, and a reduction of the square columns, square piers on the porch, also to be worked out with staff.
Rebecca Fenwick, I second.
Do I have any discussion on the motion that has been put forward? Hearing none, I ask, is there anyone who objects to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome. Moving on to the Conservation District, Petition 22, 818 Cubbage Street, Carver Village.
Give me one second, I'm writing down the motion from the, the additional standards from that last one. Okay, thank you. My apologies. Sorry, I think I'm missing one of my things. One second. All right, thank you for bearing with me. The applicant is requesting approval to demolish a contributing building located at 818 Covage Street within historic Carver Village and Flatman Village Conservation District. So you'll notice in the next part that I made an error and it says Kyler Brownville instead of Carver Village. So the historic building was constructed in 1948 and is a contributing resource within the National Register Carver Village Historic District and the local conservation district. I'm just going to show you the rest of the pictures from the applicant's package. And the applicant is the City of Savannah on behalf of the owner. And I am also going to show you what it looked like when it was surveyed in 2012. All right. The criteria for demolition. The demolition is required to alleviate a threat to public health or public safety. And the second one, the demolition is required to avoid exceptional practical difficulty or undue hardship upon any owner of any specific property. If the difficulty or hardship claimed is economic, the applicant shall be required to submit sufficient evidence to demonstrate that the application of the standards and regulations of this section deprives the applicant of a positive economic use or return on the subject property. On April 17th, 2021, this building suffered a fire. The building was boarded and unoccupied at the time. The fire was all-consuming and little to nothing remains of the historic building. In Recorder's Court on October 13th, 2021, a demolition order was issued stating the following. The structure is dilapidated, structurally unsound, unsanitary, is dangerous to human life, is a public nuisance, and constitutes a hazard to safety and health. Additionally, it is staff's professional opinion that to repair the building would be an undue economic hardship. Staff recommends approval of the demolition. Staff does not recommend any additional stipulations as the building was documented as part of the 2012-2013 CLG grant survey project. Staff recommends approval to demolish a contributing building located at 818 Cubbage Street as requested because the demolition is a threat to public health and safety and is necessary to avoid undue hardship for the owner. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of staff? Is the petitioner present?
Well, this is Officer Downs with the Code Compliance Department for the City of Savannah.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I would just agree with the staff's recommendation and hope that we can move forward with the demolition of this property.
Are there any questions of the petitioner? Hearing none, is there any comment from the public? Hearing none, we will move on to board discussion. Is there any discussion board concerning this building being demolished?
I have a question for staff.
Okay.
I know there aren't that many contributing buildings left in Carver Village. I guess this is a combination of a question for Officer Downs and for staff. How many of the remaining contributing buildings in Carver Village? Oh, I guess it's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, all of the yellow ones are historic. So okay. Actually, Carver Village is actually very intact.
Wow, okay. I guess I don't know why I just assumed it was like mostly the area near Louisville Road. So that's my apology. How many of the contributing buildings are there any more buildings up for demolition or condemned? Is this something that we're going to be seeing more of now that there is more development happening near that area? I'm just curious if that has spurred any of the investigating of some of the buildings in this area.
Well, I'll go first. I would like to hear from Officer Downs if he's aware of any other, you know, properties in peril. But this conservation district obviously protects the historic buildings. This one obviously had a pretty severe fire. But the other thing I will say is that this conservation district has a stipulation that none of the other ones do, and that's that lots cannot be recombined in this district. And that is to specifically protect this historic development pattern of these small lots with the American small houses on them. So that was specifically in response to the surrounding development. But I would like Officer Downs to talk about any other ones that are having problems.
So at this time in Carver Village, we do have one more demolition that will be brought to you all. It's 813 Carter Street, or hold on, 812, I believe. No, it is 813.
One of these around here then somewhere.
It would be the first lot. But what happened, they previously had a demolition permit and only demolished half of that. So we're just pursuing the rest of the house on that one. Right now it's literally the front wall and maybe 10 feet of wall on either side. The whole house is gone. So that's the only other demolition in the conservation district that we're currently pursuing. We did just complete one, which is out just outside of the boundary on the other side of Gwinnett Street. And then we have one that is on Stiles, which is also outside of the boundary. Other than that, there are no other demolitions that we're working in that area.
Okay.
It looks like it is.
Is there any other discussion or questions?
I'm just going to throw my two cents in. Looks like it's this one right here. So fortunately, it's not listed as a contributing building, the one that Officer Downs was talking about.
Hearing none, I ask for a motion either to accept the staff's recommendation or to amend it.
This is Darren Bagley Heath. I motion to accept staff recommendations and proceed forward with the demolition of the property.
Do I have a second?
Oh, this is Chelsea Jackson Green. I'll second.
Thank you. Is there any objection to the motion on the floor to accept the staff's recommendation?
Did we ask for public input?
Yes, we did.
Thank you.
And there was no one present or who raised their hand. Is there any objection to the staff's recommendation to demolish 818 Cubbage Street? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to the approved staff review items, 23 through 29?
34.
30, excuse me, 34. No vote is needed. This is simply to acknowledge that these have happened. Notices and proclamations. Do staff have any notices or proclamations that need to be announced?
Just as usual, we've uploaded our, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 monthly reports. So if anyone, you know, has any questions about that, feel free to ask.
Okay, other business. We have the subcommittee discussion. And we also have nomination for elections of the chair. But we will take care of the subcommittee discussion first. Darren, you want to go ahead?
Rebecca was nominated chair, so I think I'm going to let her take the lead as far as.
Hello, everyone. So the subcommittee met a few days ago. It was posted, and it was successful, thorough meeting. We discussed three main things, and my other committee members can jump in if I leave anything out. But we discussed deconstruction ordinance. We discussed a legacy or long-term homeowner ordinance provisions, as well as the weathering of buildings and what the definition of true stucco is. We are currently doing research and are hopeful to be able to report back to this group with some actual language for ordinance modification in the coming months, with a goal of potentially adopting something in roughly 6 months.
Okay, you're gonna get a pretty full agenda.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what kind of percolates, right? I mean, as far as like, we're gonna be looking at what other communities are doing, and that sort of thing. And you know, as we get into the language, we'll see what actually fits and works.
Okay. Have you set up a regular meeting schedule?
Yes, we have. We are not meeting in the month of December. And we will meet in January.
I believe it's 1 o'clock prior to the first HPC pre-meeting of the year.
That is correct. We will be meeting monthly at 1 o'clock before this meeting.
Okay. Are there any questions from all the other members of the commission? Would any of the members of the subcommittee like to add anything to Rebecca, what Rebecca has said? Boy, y'all are a talkative group today. Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the nomination, the appointment of a nominating committee that will, between now and our next meeting on Monday, December the 20th, come up with three candidates for the offices of the commission so that we can take a vote.
I'm gonna put this forward right now.
We're voting for chair and vice chair.
So Virginia, my biggest concern for the meeting on the 20th, and I did bring it up to Leah at the subcommittee meeting, is I won't be in attendance on the 20th. I don't know whether that affects our ability to have a quorum or not. I will be out of the country that week. So it'll be difficult for me to be in attendance. So I don't know how that affects a subcommittee and nominations.
Okay,
you don't have to be. Excuse me, you don't have to be present to, even if you are part of the nominating committee, which Virginia is going to appoint three of you, you do not have to be in attendance. The voice of your nominating committee can talk about who you nominated. And hopefully we have a quorum. Hopefully there's nobody
else. Voting on it in January.
That's right.
So I am going to ask Chelsea, Darren, and Haley to form the nominating committee and come back with a slate of offices proposed. If there are any questions as to how you go about this, I am sure that Pam will be glad to help you.
Pam, can you explain how this is different than a formal subcommittee, how they can discuss this with each other, how they can make this decision?
There's a, I guess, not an anomaly, but an exception that allows the nominating committee to meet and discuss the nominations without it being an advertised meeting and an agenda published. So it's one of the few exceptions.
Okay, that sounds good. And I have everyone's emails and phone numbers from the last bulletin you all sent out, so I can send everyone emails today about organizing when the best day or time is for us to meet. Darren, when exactly do you leave?
We meet on December the 20th.
Yeah, I leave the Wednesday before, so I think it's the 16th, and I get back the 23rd.
Okay. So, Pam, would we have to meet before then in order to get Darren's, I guess, vote?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for taking charge of that, Chelsea. And I do just want to, for informational purposes, Virginia is eligible for one more year as chair. Chelsea, you are eligible for one more year as vice chair, but those do not have to be your recommendations when you come back. But I just wanted you to know what the options were. So.
Okay.
And yes, you can nominate yourself.
And if I know that Haley is not on this call right now, but if we don't get a hold of her, is there anyone else interested in being on the nominating committee? Robin, Dr. Williams, would you be interested in joining?
You can't make that recommendation. That would have to come from the chair.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I'm already on the other subcommittee, so okay. I would prefer not at this moment.
Okay.
Haley is on, actually. I think she's just having trouble with her phone. So.
Okay. So then
try and reach out to Haley.
Okay.
And if there is a problem, let me know, and we will go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Is there anything else that needs to be discussed? Hearing none, I'm going to move for an adjournment. Our next pre-meeting will be Monday, the 20th, 2021 at 2:30. And the regular meeting will be Monday, the 20th at 3 p.m. I thank you. And everybody have a nice Thanksgiving. Enjoy.